of the Father and of the Son and of God's Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The story of Jephthah and his daughter is not an easy one to sit with. The story of Jephthah and his daughter is not an easy one to sit with. Jephthah, one of the great judges leading the armies of Israel against their enemies. Jephthah, who commanded great armies, makes a bargain with God. God, I have plowed through 23 towns. I have slayed those who are against me. And now I'm coming up to the Ammonites. And if you give me victory over the Ammonites, I will offer up to you as a burnt offering the first thing that comes out of my house to greet me when I return victorious. Okay. And he's victorious. And I'm sure word of Jephthah's victory made it home before he did. I'm sure that word which travels like wildfire got there before he could travel the 25 towns back to home. And he gets home, and his only child, his daughter, the apple of his eye, his pride and joy, his legacy, her children would be his descendants. And she comes out and she's dancing and she's shaking the timbrel, the tambourine, and she says, "Daddy, you're home and you were victorious. Praise God in the heavens." And Jephthah hits the ground and tears his clothes and he says, "Oh my God, what have I done? You, my pride and joy, the apple of my eye, the sunshine of my life, have brought me very low. You have broken my heart." Those are probably not words his daughter ever heard. He tore his clothes and he says, "You've broken my heart. Because I've made a promise, I've made a vow to God, and I can't go back on it." And his daughter, who might have been, 14, 15 years old, sets down her tambourine and says to her father, "Well, you do to me what it is you've said you'll do. But first, give me 2 months to go and mourn. Give me 2 months to go with my friends and weep and wail up on the mountain. Give me 2 months to mourn the fact that all of the dreams we had of my getting married and having children and your grandchildren and your generations to follow you. Give me the chance to mourn for that." And he says, "Go." She went up the mountain and she cried and she wept and she prayed and she came home after those 2 months were up and she says, "God, bless you, Father. Do it as you've said you will." And he offered his only child as a burnt offering. It's not an easy story to swallow. And you might wonder why, when they were putting together the canon of the Bible, this is in here for a reason, and it says that, "So there arose an Israelite custom that for 4 days every year the daughters of Israel would go out to lament the daughter of Jephthah the Gileadite." Okay, it's the story that gives the explanation for why they do what they do. But on a deeper level, There are two lessons in this that Grandma taught me from this big. And the first is this. You can make any request you want. You can make any decision you want. You are free to do that. You are not free from the consequences of your choices. Jephthah was not free from the consequence of his choice. He could have said anything else to God. He could have offered any other thing. He could, we'll give him a pass. He's living pre-Jesus, several generations. So, you know, he didn't have the, we love you anyway. But to be so bold and to be so almost cocky, to say, if you give me victory, I'll give you the first thing that comes out of my house. Never once thinking it would be his only child. The second lesson is this, and we learn from Jephthah's daughter, is that we owe a certain amount of obedience to the duty we're called to. Grandma would word it a little more like, if you say you're going to do something, by golly, you better do it. Or have a darn good excuse for why not. See, Jephthah's daughter was a faithful Israelite child. Jephthah's daughter, we assume because she understood who God was, we assume she's been through her bat mitzvah. The words of the Lord, the words of Torah have been given to her. She is able to go to the ladies' meeting at synagogue, at temple. She's informed about who God is. And more than that, she understands her role and her father's role in the community. She understands what her job is being the daughter of Jephthah. She understands how to carry herself. She understands how to present herself. She understands what it is to make a vow to God. She knows full well the depth and the weight that vowing to God makes, the heft of that stone. 21st century 15-year-old girl whose father, who's an only child, whose father had said, I've promised to make a burnt offering of you, would be running to the courthouse or to the police station crying child abuse. We didn't have that back then. That's not what it was. This was a promise between Jephthah and God. On one hand, you have Jephthah's lesson. You make a vow, you can't go back on it. Words once spoken cannot be unspoken, as a bell that has been rung cannot be unrung. You've said it. You can't take it back. You can't say, oh, no, God, I didn't mean it. And the lesson of Jephthah's daughter is obedience to duty, the obedience to follow through on what your faith teaches you. Your obedience to believing that God is in charge of all. Now, there are plenty of people who might use that scripture reading as an excuse to make deals with God. And I will tell you right here, right now, that is not how God works. I will also tell you that I know plenty of people who have tried to do it. God, if you give me curly hair, I promise I will eat my lima beans all month long. God, if you let me pass this test, I'll promise to serve on the committee at church. God, if you let my loved one survive this cancer battle, you can take my life instead. Country song from the 90s, Don't Take the Girl. Starts out with, don't take the girl fishing. Then they get married, or they're out dating. And they're getting mugged on the date. And he says, take my wallet, take my keys, take my car, but don't take the girl. And then they're in the hospital. Sorry, Emily. They're in the hospital, and she's having the baby and says, the baby's doing fine, but you got to go because your wife ain't doing so good. And the man hits his knees and says, don't take the girl. Take me instead. If you let me be victorious over the Ammonites, I'll give you as a burnt offering the first thing that comes out of my house. Now, we know full well at this point in the scripture, God doesn't work like that. This is post-Abraham and Isaac. Remember that story where God, testing Abraham, said, I want you to take Isaac up the mountain. I want you to offer him as a burnt offering to me. And by golly, Abraham was going. And Isaac keeps saying, Dad, where's the lamb? We got the firewood and the matches and the stones, and we've built this lovely little, you know, burning pile. Dad, where's the lamb? God will provide. Okay. Dad, everything's ready. Where's the lamb at? God will provide. Dad, why are you laying me on top of the firewood? God has provided the lamb. And then here comes the voice of God. No, stop. I see how faithful you are. We know one who says, offer your child as a burnt offering. That's not how this works. But you have Jephthah and his daughter. And you have Jephthah who says, I'll give you the first thing that comes out of my house as a burnt offering. I don't know what he was expecting. Maybe the family goat. Maybe the little lamb come around the corner. Not his daughter. Any number of lessons you can take from this, but these are the ones I offer you this morning specifically. One, if you say it, you better mean it. Which means we have to be mindful of the words that come out of our mouth. It means we have to be mindful, and we need to be the leaders for society that say you have to think before you speak. You have to fully understand what it is you are saying before you say it. The lesson also that when you have a duty to something, you owe it a certain amount of obedience. And if that means your duty is helping at food pantry, if that means your duty is showing up on Sunday morning, Wednesday night, Tuesday night, whatever the case may be, if you have a duty to be present with your neighbors through their time of trial, if you have a duty to whatever your duty is, you owe it a certain amount of obedience. Obedience to duty, that drive to do what you say you're going to do. And thirdly, the openness to follow the call of God wherever it goes. Do I believe that God birthed Jephthah's daughter into this world so that she could be a burnt offering? No. I don't believe that any more than I believe that any child is specifically born into a family of violence or addiction. Do I believe that God uses circumstances to further his purpose in this world? Yes. Do I believe that God can take a child from a situation and grow them into something better? Yes. Do I believe that God can take any one of us out of any situation we find ourselves in and make it better and make it to the glory of God? Yes. Why? Because that's the promise. It's a hard story to swallow. I may have only been an only child for 13 months, but I've always been the only daughter. I can't imagine being in her shoes. How many times, ladies in the room who are the oldest, are the only daughter, whatever the case may be, how many times have somebody been coming home that have been gone for a while and you run to greet them? Yeah. It's a hard pill to swallow. But the lesson there is that we need to pay better attention to what's going on around us. And the lesson is we need to pay better attention about our part in the primordial mess. We owe it to our Creator to be mindful of His creation. And to remember that creation is not just the rocks and the trees and the birds of the air and the fish of the sea and the animals of the land, but that His creation also includes you and I and what makes us us and what makes our neighbor out there on the street our neighbor and what makes that person just as much a valued part of God's creation as anyone else. We need to be mindful. And while Jephthah's daughter professed great faith in understanding that her God would see her through what her father had signed her up for, I get a deeper lesson from watching what her father did and going, how easy would it be for words of my mouth to have the same effect? It might not be I don't have daughters. It might not be one of my nieces running in the door, and I might not be offering them up as a burnt sacrifice. But how many times might my words tear somebody down and make them feel like a cinder on that pile? How many times might any one of our words have that effect? Grandma may have emulated many things, but one of the many lessons she taught me, and we're going to cover a bunch of them, one of the many lessons she taught me is you be mindful about what you say. She said it before Facebook ever came up with it. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will haunt me forever. We can be in this place. We can be in this uncomfortableness. Why? Because we also know and we also hold true that this meal right here is that physical reminder of what price was paid so that we know. Because while God saved Isaac off of the pile, and while God made Jephthah keep true to his story, we remember that God also sacrificed his son. Not so that the world could be condemned, not for any other reason than God loved creation. And God loved you, and God loved me, and God loved every generation between Jesus and Adam, and Jesus, and tomorrow. God so loved the world. We are given the forgiveness we need. We are given the grace we so, so desperately need. So that when we stumble and when we trip ourselves up and when our humanness gets in the way of our connection with the Father, we come back and we remember. Anytime you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the life-saving death and resurrection of Jesus Christ until he comes again in final glory. Those aren't just words we say. Those are words we hold on to. This act right here that we'll partake in later this morning is that main reminder every month, every time we partake of the promises we were made. That when we fall down like Jephthah did and we make promises we really, really don't want to keep, that promise is bigger. That we can say, oh God, help me, I didn't mean it. Oh God, help me, forgive me, I'm sorry. And Jesus says,